Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. A busy day today. Looking forward to, we got a lot. We got a lot to get into. How about this one? Pac-12 tournament starts up tomorrow, and we're looking forward to see what those Colorado Buffaloes can do. They'll play on Thursday, the winner between Arizona State and Utah. Joining us now to talk about that and probably a few other things, Colorado Buffaloes head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, thanks so much for being with us. I know it's a crazy week for you, so we appreciate you squeezing us in.
Absolutely. Good to be with you.
Hey, first off, congratulations to you guys, making a little history, going on a crazy run, 6 wins in a row, and you get the Buffs regular season record for most wins in a season with 22. So congratulations to you and your staff, your roster, everybody over there at CU.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a heck of an accomplishment, especially given the fact that we've overcome a lot of adversity this year with injuries and personnel situations. So really proud of our players. They've put in a lot of work and they've stayed the course. And there's lots of ups and downs during a basketball season. You know, we start in early November and then here it is mid March and we haven't even gotten to our tournaments yet. So it's a long, long season and a lot of ups and downs. So our guys persevered.
Coach, it was an interesting time there. Like you said, ups and downs, late January, early February. You guys ran into that rough patch and a lot of adversity there. I was watching the coach's show with you and with Mark Johnson and just kind of listening to your thoughts there. What's going through your mind at that stage? You know, when you go, you have a tough one against Washington State and Utah and, of course, the Arizona game, UCLA. Knowing, hey, all right, here we are, you know, Thursday, February 15th after that UCLA game. We know what we got to do. What's the thought process there with you and your staff at that stage?
It's just win the next game, Brady. It's no more complicated than that. Like, that UCLA loss was difficult because it could have gone either way. We really competed that night, in Pauley Pavilion. We just came up a little bit short. It was kind of a down the stretch, it was kind of a make-miss game. A lot of times when you lose a game, you look at what you could have done better. You always do that as a coach and, as a program. But that game could have easily gone either way because our guys competed their tails off all night, and they made some shots down the stretch. We missed some shots down the stretch, had some good looks, and just came up a little bit short. And then we go to USC 2 days later, and we come back from 16 down, against a fully healthy USC team and win a big game in double overtime. And that gave our guys a lot of confidence, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, you went on this massive run, but we talked about it. Hey, the Buffs, we know the talent that you guys have. I mean, you have so many talented players on this roster, but you knew what was in front of you. Like you said, you got to win the next game. You battle it out with USC, a couple of overtimes, and then after that, you go on this run. And I think we kept saying, all right, win this stretch against Utah, Cal, Stanford, maybe split between Oregon State. But what do I know? I have no idea how they figure this out, but here we are. I mean, you guys won 6 in a row. Coach, I was looking. Is that, like, the most CU's won in a row in the Pac-12 since, like, the mid-90s or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's the first 6-game conference winning streak since 96-97 when Chauncey was here. And
wow.
And the first one to finish a conference season since, like, the 1950s, which is the Final Four team that played here. So, yeah, some good things, but again, it's just about winning the next game. And quite frankly, that's where we are right now. We're going to Las Vegas. We leave tomorrow. We play Thursday night, and we're going there to win one game on Thursday night. And if you do that, take care of business, then you wake up Friday morning and you see what's in front of you, and you try to do it again. So you can't win 3 games in one night. You got to win one game one night, and then live to see another day. Because at this point in the season, whatever tournament you're in, whether it's a conference championship or NCAA tournament or NIT tournament, you name the postseason tournament, it's you win or you go home.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, how much has that got to help you with these last 6 games, knowing, hey, we got to win the next one. We know what it's going to take, but we can't look too far ahead. But you've been in some, you know, pressure filled situations, and so I'm wondering, you know, how much is that going to help you guys going into this situation on Thursday? That experience.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, I think what helps us is we've got some veteran guys. You know, we got some guys that have really taken ownership of this team. We've got some guys that really are playing their best basketball right now. We've started to take care of the ball better offensively. We've started to defend better and more consistently. So, I think our guys have figured out what they need to do to win games, and they've been going out and doing it. But that doesn't guarantee anything. It's about what's in front of you, not what's behind you. So in terms of how many regular season games we won, in terms of how many we've won in a row, quite frankly, that all goes out the window when you get into a tournament, because it's, again, everybody's got a new season here. Everybody's going to Vegas with the same idea. You know, they want to get hot, they want to advance, and we're no different than Utah or Arizona State, whoever we end up playing. Whoever we play, Brady's going to have a win under their belt.
Yeah, well, and you see it. We're already seeing it in some of these conference tournaments already, Coach. Number ones are losing to tens. Great teams are dropping to teams that maybe struggled. And that's what we say is, you know, we always hear you want to be playing your best sport, whatever that is, late in the season. And if you can get hot, regardless of where your standings sit, you can really make some noise in a tournament like this.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what makes March Madness so special, right? You know, these conference tournaments, you got teams that are, you know, coming out of nowhere, and you know, they got a new life to them. No matter how bad or good their regular season was, it all goes out the window. And the Pac-12 is no different than the Big Sky. The Big Sky is no different than the ACC. You go down every league in the country, and you got teams that are scratching and clawing and don't want their seasons to end.
Coach Tad Boyle joining us. The Buffs get set for Thursday in their second round of the Pac-12 tournament. They'll play either Utah or Arizona State. Coach, how many times have you been asked, including my follow-up question, if you think you're getting into the big dance?
I get asked all the time. And, you know, my answer is the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't worry about it. I don't worry about things I can't control. I worry about what kind of practice we're going to have today. I worry about, you know, what do we have to do to beat Arizona State or Utah, depending on who wins tomorrow night. I don't concern myself with any of that other stuff.
Does it really? And it just doesn't enter your brain? Because, I mean, I think about it. I'm thinking about it right now. I was thinking about it when I got up this morning, Coach, and I'm not even involved. It just doesn't go there, huh?
Yeah, look, it's in the back of your mind. I mean, and you know, I'm not a dummy. Our players aren't dummies. And they know what's at stake. They know what we, you know, I don't think anybody knows what we have to do, but it just helps this time of year if you just win the next game. And if we just try to focus on that, and we do that more often than not, you know, we'll let the chips fall where they may. I know this. I know this is an NCAA tournament caliber team. I've coached teams that have deserved to be in the tournament and not been invited. Okay, for our first team at CU. Was a case in point. I've also coached teams that, quite frankly, got in the tournament and probably didn't deserve to be in there. I think back to the year that Spencer Dinwiddie got hurt. He tore his ACL. We were 15-3, ranked 15th in the country. And from that point forward, we were a 500 team. We got in that year, and we got spanked by 40-some points in the first round by Pittsburgh. That team was not an NCAA tournament team. Now, we got in because of what we did in November and December. But, you know, we weren't half as good as that first team that we coached at that point of the season.
So is that part of it, too? You find yourself going, hey, sometimes we thought we were good enough to get in. Sometimes maybe we weren't, but we snuck in. I have a hard time keeping track with the net rankings and the quad ones and the quad four wins and all that. I'm still not entirely sure how they – I mean, I have an idea, but I'm still not entirely sure how they sum it up at the end of the day.
It's you know, I think every committee is different. Every year is different. And I think this year – there's so much more parity in college basketball this year that when you get to those last teams that are under consideration, I mean, it's you're splitting hairs. You really are. But if you're one of those teams like we are, you didn't take care of your business when you needed to take care of your business. And we didn't take care of our business at Cal this year. We didn't take care of our business at Arizona State this year. We didn't take care of our business, Arizona at home this year. Like, so you can point back to three to four games where we didn't do what we needed to do. And that's where we're in the position we're in. And, you don't cry about it. You don't whine about it. You just go try to win the next game.
It is interesting, though, because especially in college basketball, we put a lot of emphasis on we put a lot of emphasis on every single game, but we go way back when the season starts. You look at the non-con schedule, you go to November, clear back then, but then that's like a contradiction to a lot of the other sports we talk about when you say, oh, we want to be playing our best in our final 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, but so much is judged upon how you played three and a half months ago.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, with conference play, here's the one thing I do know about college basketball. It doesn't matter what conference you're in, you're going to beat each other up. It's going to happen. Every league in the country, you're going to, hopefully you win at home, you can split on the road, and you can, win more games than you lose and put yourself in that top half competing for a championship. But the non-conference is really the only way you can compare Colorado with New Mexico in the Mountain West, or Colorado with, Clemson in the ACC. The only way you can do that is you look at non-conference schedules and you see how well did you play, who did you play, where did you play them, who did you beat, who did you lose to, and that. Because that's really what it comes down to, is you got to compare a middle of the road Pac-12 team with a middle of the road ACC team, or Big Ten, or you name the conference, right? And so we took care of our business for the most part, but there's a lot of teams that didn't even schedule very difficult non-league games, and they won them all. Or they won, 12-1 or 13-1 in the non-conference, and sometimes those teams get rewarded, whereas the teams that go out and play somebody don't get rewarded, and sometimes they do too. Like you look at Michigan State. Michigan State does not have a great Big Ten record, but man, you can never accuse Tom Izzo of not playing a tough non-conference schedule. They take on all comers, and sometimes he gets rewarded for that. And to me, rightfully so.
We're talking to CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, I saw right before we got on the air here, KJ Simpson, not a big surprise there, named first team All Pac-12. Tristan Da Silva, second team All Conference pick, and then Cody Williams was named to the league's All Freshman team. What are those awards? I mean, is it just kind of a nice punctuation at the end of a season, especially hard fought in these last six games for you?
Those are individual awards. I'm proud of every young man who gets them, because those are voted on by the opposing coaches. I can't vote for any of our own players. So that's the ultimate compliment, is when you're voted on by your peers for having a great season. However, I would say this: we got a guy on our team named Javon Hadley, who is just as important as KJ is to us. He's just as important as Tristan is to us. He's just as important as Cody is to us. And he's had a hell of a year. And he doesn't get any of those individual awards. But I know, his teammates know, his coaches know, the fans that have followed our program know all year long how important he is to us. So to me, it's what are we doing as a group together? The 22 win total means a hell of a lot more to me than any of these individual awards. I'm proud of those young men, don't get me wrong. But this is a team sport, an ultimate team sport. And so whether it's, Luke O'Brien, whether it's Asan Jope or Bangat Dak coming off the bench for us, I'm proud of our whole group.
Coach, this next question, it goes to what you were talking about, you know, as far as adversity and injuries. I think the last time we had you on, I was asking you, hey, can you break some news? When's Cody Williams coming back? Same situation, same kind of question. Can you give us anything? Can you break some news here today?
Well, I don't know. The good news is he practiced yesterday.
Okay, good.
Good news is I think he's going to practice today. Now, we're not on the floor for another couple hours, but so we'll see. You know, we'll take it day by day, see how that ankle's feeling, and he's had a rough year with injuries. He had the wrist injury early, then he got popped in the eye with an elbow in practice, and played with a mask, and had a facial fracture from that, and now he twists an ankle, and he's been recovering from that. So it's been a rough year injury wise for Cody. As it has for a few of our other guys, maybe not to the extent he's had them, but he's fought through them and he's battled back and he's a tough kid. We're a much better team with Cody Williams than we are without him, I can tell you that.
Coach, on the mask thing, I was curious too, because, hey, it looks cool. I mean, these guys look awesome out there. How much does that impact their play when they're out there?
I don't think it impacts them a lot. Once you get used to it, you know, their peripheral vision isn't quite maybe what it is with the mask off. But once you play with it, you know, practice with it a week or so, you get used to it. I know they'd rather not have it, but that's a precautionary thing, and you just don't want to, you know, risk further injury. But we've had our fair share of injuries this year with. You go down the whole list.
CU Buff said Coach Tad Boyle joining us. Coach, we'll let you go after this. I just wanted to put this out there real quickly, and you don't have to get into it if you don't want. You can say let's move on or let's be done. But I did see a Rick Pitino interview yesterday talking about, and I like to pick your brain about overall college stuff, because who better to talk to about it? I know you've been vocal on some of this stuff, but Rick Pitino saying, hey, I don't think our you know, some of these games, championships should be vacated because of what happened back with Louisville. And then obviously talking about some of these other issues, you know, you just can't erase wins, losses. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. Again, we don't have to go into too many details on it, but I don't know if you saw it.
I don't know what he was referring to. So I have to plead a little bit ignorant there.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was referring to. Vacated wins,
Back when, he, you know, obviously Louisville was under the investigation and ultimately he was let go, and he was on a podcast called Pardon My Take.
And
you know, they went into a lot of different things and a lot of interesting things that you and I have talked about on this show. But I've always kind of been in the middle, you know, the gray area of, okay, I get it. You should be in trouble. Should we vacate wins when guys are breaking the rules? Should we vacate championships? He even brought up Reggie Bush with the Heisman. I just wanted to get your two cents on that.
Yeah, look, I think, number one, we have rules for a reason. We have rules to try to level the playing field, to bring, hopefully, whatever the rule is. I mean, and look, I'll be the first to admit, you know, there's been a lot of really silly, I'll use that word, I could use some other adjectives, but some really silly rules through the years. And it's not my place, or really to me, any coach's place, to judge those rules. Now, we can do what we can do within the system to try to get them to be changed if it's a silly rule. But the bottom line is, if there's a rule in the rule book that you're supposed to follow and I'm supposed to follow and we're all supposed to follow, and one of us doesn't follow it and gets caught for whatever reason, there should be some penalties. And again, I do think the punishment should fit the crime. So vacating wins, if you broke rules and somebody else didn't break rules and you have an advantage, why wouldn't you vacate a win? You know, I mean, and if you're not going to vacate a win, what's the penalty? I guess I would ask, what should the penalty be if you're not going to do that? And I think, but there has to be some sort of penalty. And unfortunately, you know, when you, for example, right now, there's level one, level two, and level three violations. Okay. And to me, a violation is a violation. But they've tried to get to the punishment fitting the crime type thing, but our business, because the money's gotten so big, to me the business model of the membership, self-reporting, and the lack of enforcement of the rules is very problematic right now in our business. I will say that, in my opinion.
Well, and I mean, it's hard to disagree with you. I mean, when you look around, I love what you said too. Like, hey, we are tasked with these rules we have to follow. If somebody breaks them, then that's a domino effect. There's going to be other coaches out there, not yourself, obviously, but there's other coaches that look at it and go, wow, the pressure's on. This guy's doing it. We know he's doing it. Nothing's happening. So now we got to do it to try to catch up. And it's this never-ending cycle. And you know, the thing I look at is you can find guys, you can find teams all you want, but what hurts the most is vacating wins and championships.
What's that? I'm sorry, Brady.
Oh, Coach. No, I was just going into the fact that, hey, when you are fining these guys, or when you're punishing these guys, these coaches, these teams, we all know, you know, the money, but when you hit them the hardest is when it's, hey, we're going to vacate what you earned, those championships, those games, those whatever. That, to me, is really the only message that speaks loudly enough to do anything.
Well, the other message that speaks pretty loudly is losing your job.
Well, sure, yeah.
And that's probably the ultimate, or taking away, you know, postseason, you know, play opportunities, and there's a lot of people that argue, well, you know, why penalize the kids on the team this year when the infractions, and again, it gets back to enforcement, right, and the timeliness of the enforcement, but like when something happened 3 years ago, and you penalize, you know, this year's team. That's not fair to the kids on this year's team. And that there's a valid point to be made there, without a doubt.
Sure.
However, you know, usually there's a cloud over the program, and people know who's being investigated and who's not. And if a kid chooses to go to a program that has a cloud over it, and then it rains and washes out their season, so be it.
Well, and especially in this day and age. Coach, appreciate you. I obviously love just talking basketball with you. I love talking about the business of basketball, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I always appreciate the opportunity to do that with you, Coach.
Absolutely. Always right. Good to be with you.
Hey, good luck on Thursday. We'll be rooting for you. I think you guys have done enough, but we'll see what happens Thursday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you, Buffs head coach, Tad Boyle. I mean, insurance... Listen, I think CSU's in. It would be nice for them to win, but CU, based on what we read yesterday, Angel, with that report, it sure sounds like they're out if they don't win on Thursday. Do you believe Coach Boyle? It just doesn't really cross his mind there, Angel. You don't think it hits? I mean, if I were a head coach, I'd be thinking about that every single day, all day. That's what would be hit my brain. But, I mean, that's why they're there.
Joe Lunardi has another bracketology out as of this morning.
Buffs in?
And he has the Buffs as a last four in team.
Like?
With Virginia, St. John's, and Indiana State.
But didn't he just do one that said they have to win Thursday? Or does he just do it? Is it like a mock draft? You do a new one every day?
I think for now, in this next 2 weeks, he's doing one pretty much every day.
So the Buffs are in then, according to that. Now again, that's not the science of it.
Be a little more secure.
Yeah,
we're gonna win on Thursday. It's gonna change every other day. You never know.
Well, good news for the Buffs. Cody Williams is practicing. Tad Boyle tells us he practiced yesterday and he will practice today. I enjoy catching up with CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle because he gets into that stuff once in a while with me. And the Rick Pitino thing. Did you watch any of the clips from him on Pardon My Take saying, "Hey, we shouldn't have had that stuff, the championship vacated. We shouldn't have lose those wins."
I didn't see that. I did see him talking about
the business. Yeah,
NIL,
I saw that
stuff.
Too. I don't know why. It's just weird when I hear coaches really go into it. You know, because they're all doing it. And again, with what Rick Pitino did, what his staff did at Louisville, whether he knew about it or not, which he claims he didn't, and I think, you know, the investigation claimed he didn't. I mean, come on, man. He's complaining about what's happening right now in college basketball. What happened at Louisville was, borderline criminal. This is bad stuff, dude. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Oh, yeah.
Want to win $1,000 this year? Keep it here to find out how to enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Summit Spas Windsor and Fort Collins.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Free agency continues to be absolutely wild. Derrick Henry, there goes one of my buy or sells today, Angel. That's out the door because he's going to Baltimore. Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs in the league with the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment. Oof. Yikes. You think that means that Harbaugh will run the ball in the playoffs then? Like, does that change? You know, if Gus can't get the ball, let's give it to Derek instead? Or does, no, they're going to go into the pass game?
Yeah. What does history tell you?
I would imagine. If I'm a Ravens fan, I'm like, yeah, that's great. We'll do that through the regular season. But once the playoffs hit in our biggest game ever, we're going to just go away from the run. Let's do that. Mm. Broncos were maybe, they were interested in Sam Darnold. He ended up going to the Vikings. How does Brian Gary feel? Who yesterday on the morning show, he's like, Kirk Cousins, there's no way he's leaving. He loves it, all this stuff. And then he wakes up and not only Kirk Cousins is gone, but Sam Darnold's, I mean, as of right now, is Sam Darnold the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings?
As of today?
Yeah, as of today.
At 11:36 Mountain Time, yes.
They have the 11th pick.
Yes.
They taken a, I mean, this is going to get interesting. This draft is going to be freaking interesting. I'm free agency's fun and all, but like you said yesterday, when the teams that you're rooting for aren't that active, I mean, really what the Broncos are doing is cleaning up contracts right now, and they just got Malcolm Roach, signed him to a two-year deal, defensive lineman. So you're not going to get like the big sexy names right now.
No, and I saw a tweet just scrolling around yesterday, and it was kind of like, if your team is one that's spending a lot of money, it probably means you weren't that good.
Right. Well, the Broncos spent a lot of money last year, and they weren't that good. And because of all the money they spent last year and everything we know about Russ and all that stuff, they're still not that good. So they're still in the rebuild mode. Your take on this. Noob just said, did Boyle just take a dig at CSU with the 13-1 comment?
I don't think so. It's not how when I first heard it, I didn't interpret it as that.
I will admit I interpreted it as that. But I
think it's more trying to answer your question about what qualifies teams for wins.
Yeah.
And when, you know, if a conference is tighter than most or it's more top heavy or whichever, you have to look at the next factor of tiebreakers, and that's conference games, where you played them, when you played them.
Well, there are a lot of 13-1 teams, you know. He couldn't be talking about his bitter rival and the team that beat CU this year. He's not talking about that.
I mean, that was months ago. I don't think that's on the front of his mind when he's preparing for the Pac-12 tournament.
I didn't say it was, but he did say 13-1, non-con schedule. Your rival's 13-1. There's no way he meant that. There's no way a rival could say something mean about his rival.
When I first heard it, it's not what I went to.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world, because it's true. I feel this way. Not about CSU. I'm not saying I have an alternative plan, but it is weird to me that my entire life, what do we hear in football? Got to be playing your best football in November. Got to be playing your best football in December. Well, if you're playing your best basketball in January and February, great. But if you didn't play your best basketball in November and December, then you're out. You're not, I mean, that's what is my flaw with the net rankings and all that stuff. I get it. You beat good teams 2.5 months ago, but teams change. Teams get better. Their chemistry grows. Young players become old in 2.5 months. So I don't know how you fix that. I'm not saying it needs to be fixed. It's just that's one of my flaws that I look at when we're talking about your non-conference schedule. It's good to have it, right? The team that you beat on November 30th or whatever is probably a completely different team than the one that's playing today on, you know, March 12th or 13th.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's more of, depending on how your conference schedule goes, determines how important your non-conference is. If you, you know, go 500 non-conference and then you win out your entire conference going defeated, it's like, okay, well, you obviously got better. Those losses in November didn't really hurt you that much.
And that's why it does put a lot of emphasis on your regular season, and I'm for that kind of thing. 39 minutes after the hour, we'll get to the Nuggets last night. Played with their food again, finished their meal. Jamal Murray, is he looking like somebody, man? Is he acting like somebody? Let's talk about it. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash first.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KSKA.
Murray, good look there. The next Nick, he can back down Brown. They double Murray. Very long range, and he knocks it in. Inside Murray, yes, and a foul.
Into Murray, and Murray lays it up and in.
Stolen! Jokic, over to Murray. He sets, he fires, he gets the triple! Murray stops and pops, and that is a good-looking Jamal Murray pull-up jumper. Maybe he can get going. Murray scoops it up and in! Wow! Beautiful play by Murray.
104 now, Murray by his man.
Oh. And the basket counts, and a foul, so the Nuggets have a chance to tie it up.
Nuggets looking for the lead. Murray in the lane, put it up.
Oh, yes! Nuggets lead!
Nuggets burning some clock there. Now Murray and Jokic, two-man game. Murray
got it again!
Murray against Olynyk. Up and under. Scoop. Layup is good!
26 for Murray.
Jamal Murray, man. It's a pissed off Jamal Murray. And maybe that's exactly what we need. Jamal, double-double for him, 26 points, 12 assists. And he had some sharp passes, some absolute sharp passes. He is playing at a different level. I think he's annoyed with everything. He looks, the last 2 years, Jamal Murray, he looks mad. He looks like he's just frustrated being up there in the press conference table or the press table answering questions. You know, I know I'm going back to the UFC thing. That's not even really what I'm getting into here. He is frustrated with the whole playoff Murray versus the regular season Murray. He's tired of it. This guy has an edge on his shoulder, and he's playing better because of it. Ever since he came back from the injury, It's like he got tired of seeing the Nuggets play without him and wanted to prove, I don't know, maybe he didn't want to prove anything, but he's doing it. I'm saying it right now, man. I've said it for years. He's got two levels. One level, Kobe status. When he drops down level, he's a guy. He's a starter in this league. He's playing at level one right now on a consistent basis. He's on pace to have his best season. Stat-wise, he's averaging 21.2 points per game, but a lot of that is ramped up in just the last month or so. His career high average in points was the year before he got hurt, or maybe it was the year he got hurt. It was 21.2, so he's at that right now. Last year he was at 20. This year he's at 21.2. Doesn't show a lot of signs of slowing down. I'm saying it, man. He's looking and he's kind of acting a lot like a Kobe Bryant type personality, Michael Jordan type personality. I know, it's extreme. That's what I'm seeing.
So here's his point totals from the last 10 games. So this is since the All-Star break. 18, 27, 32, 6, 24, 28, 19, 37, and 26.
And in that game when they were losing by, what, 21, 22 in the third. Katie Wingy was talking about it on the broadcast last night and said, hey, she looked over and saw it was Jamal. Everybody was quiet. You know, the coaches did their thing, and then it got kind of quiet, and Jamal's the one who stood up, starts. I mean, he's animated. He's getting after it. And then, like, the very next two or three plays, he looks like he's got crazy energy, and he's coming down the floor. He's sprinting down the floor. He's quickly penetrating that defense and finds an open. I think it was Justin Holliday open for a three. I think he got it, but that's the mentality. That's the hey, like Christian Brown. I think he had Christian Brown in the corner and he was going to pass to Brown, but Brown cut too soon and it went out of bounds. Jamal looked pissed. Like, you're getting to this point where Joker's the kind of happy-go-lucky until he reaches that level. I feel like with Jamal, it's always just simmering. He is always he's got a chip on his shoulder. You don't think Jamal gets on social media and sees guys like you and I all over the country saying, Luka and Joker would look pretty good together. You don't think the idea that, hey, Jamal's just a playoff guy, regular season, man, he's not an all-star. DNVR's Nuggets, you know, our boy Brendan, mad that he's not paying attention in the press conference. You don't think Jamal sees those kind of things? Because we know he's on social media. I think it motivates guys in a different way this day and age. Or it could do the opposite. But with Jamal, I'm almost ready to say I might be wrong on something. That maybe Jamal is the second best player on this team. Gordon just seems more important at a lot of crucial times. Jamal has the Kobe factor, man. He has the sexy part we love about basketball.
I agree for the most part. I still go back to just why do we have to wait until after the All-Star break to see this Murray?
Yeah, it's better than just the playoffs, though.
You want to get rid of the playoff Murray. I get that, and that's good motivation for him. But if the All-Star thing is really that important to him, you got to do it from the start of the year. And that's not me slighting him because I love Jamal Murray. He's great. I love what he's doing. And I like the balance that this team has. Like, sometimes Jamal's the guy that's going to be yelling in the huddle. Sometimes it's Jokic yelling up, calling out plays. Sometimes the energy on the floor is coming from Aaron Gordon and his physicality in the paint or throwing down a couple of dunks in a row. This team doesn't have that type of ego where on other teams, yeah, Jamal's the guy. And when he's on, we're just listening to him. That was the one game last night. Other nights, it's just, hey, I'm just going to score, do what I need to do, be the guy.
Well, this is what's so nice about this roster. This is why they're 9-1 in their last 10. It's the best record in the NBA over the last 10 games. Is because you have so many weapons that if Jamal were on a different team, he might be the focus. If Joker was on another team, that team would just turn into what we're seeing with the Nuggets. Dixon texting in, seemed like Toronto got a little cocky after playing hard and getting the lead. They poked the bear and got a little physical on a few plays with Murray. And so he said, hold my beer. You don't always see players, when they get pissed off, play at a higher level, but Jamal's one of them.
What does it say that we're talking a lot about Jamal in this game and Jokic just goes off for 35?
But that's, again, that's the thing. It's not necessarily fair, but that's how good Joker is. Joker almost doesn't warrant the discussion anymore. Like,
when he had six steals.
Right, I know. He's like the first player in a long time to register a stat like that. 35, 12 assists, 17 boards, 6 steals, 2 blocks, only 2 turnovers. Yes, it's an outrageous stat. But it's like, wake me up when Joker does something different other than be great. Like, the only time we're talking about Joker now is if he has 18 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. And then we're like, is he sick or something? And that happens like twice a year. That's when you, but that, see, that's the difference. Joker is an all-time guy, and he does it every night. Jamal Murray, yeah, he's still inconsistent. He has not bucked that. That's not done yet. He can't put that behind him yet until I see it. We all got to see it for multiple seasons and multiple games in those seasons. And I'm not talking multiple. I'm talking 90%. Those are the all-timers. Angel, when he was drafted, I've just said this. I have been high on Jamal and I've been critical on Jamal. When he was drafted, I said, Jamal Murray's going to be better than Steph Curry. When he's on, what's the difference? When he's on, what's the difference between Jamal Murray and Steph Curry? They both rhyme. 52 minutes after the hour. Wrap up hour number one. I got Wyoming head coach Jeff Linder coming on the program in the 1 o'clock hour. They're going to go try to make some history. You know, go do what they did back in 2015. We'll talk to him. We got buy or sell. We got top story. We got Broncos. We got Drew Locke. What? We'll be right back.
Enter for free. Create your bracket. Win big. KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by A1 Organics. Keep it here if you want in. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
Now, the Broncos have been working. They keep trying to clear cap space. They restructured the contracts of Zach Allen and Ben Powers. And I think McGlinchey, too, the big free agent signings last year, they've restructured their contracts. They're saving dollars right now. They're $46 million. They have $46 million in cap space now. So they are trying to... And Tanner asked me this question, and I'll answer it real quickly. He said, well, you know, if they're tanking and they're rebuilding, then why are they trying to make so much room right now in the salary cap? Well, because Angel, they're going to sign guys to like 3-4 year contracts, and you got to pay them. You got to pay them in this year. You got to pay them their first year of their contracts. So you got to make room for that. But they're going to sign guys to long term contracts, 3 years, whatever, maybe short term, so that they're ready when the rebuild is over. Everybody that's coming onto the Broncos right now is either you're a warm body, go out there, fill a position. Or you're somebody that I could see being a part of when we get to the top. When we get to the top in 2 years. That's the idea. 2-3 years. 4 years. 5-6-6. Second hour coming up.